came, and there was a great earthquake, and he rolled away the stone, and he sat upon it. Now, why do you think he sat upon it? Victory. He was, you know, he was probably swinging his legs, sitting on the stone, you know. Hallelujah. And so what happens now is this. Why did he move the stone? To let Jesus out? Not at all. So that they could look in and see that he just transcended right out of there. He just materialized outside. Remember when the disciples were in the upper room? It says all of a sudden he just popped in. He just materialized. And then he didn't come through the doors. He just materialized. And when he left, it was the same thing. So that's what a glorified body is similar to. So it tells us here, he sat upon the stone, and the angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who had been crucified. It was foretold that he had to die on a cross for our sins." But the angel said, "He's not here, for he is risen just as he said he would. Come and see the place where he was lying." In other words, hey, come, take a look. He's not there. And so they went, and they went to the apostles at that point. But here in Luke 24, some other women showed up, and it says in verse 5, "And as the women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground, to the angels, and they said to them, the angel said to them, 'Why are you seeking the living one among the dead?'" That's a good question for all of us. Why do we seek the living among the dead? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's a story that I came across years ago in 1977. It was called "Looking for Mr. Goodbar." Anyone remember that? And so what it means was that this woman, her name was Teresa. She was a school teacher. She got rebuffed by her boyfriend. You know, he dished her. And so she was now going from bar to bar looking for Mr. Good in the bar. That's why I called Mr. Good Bar. And she would go from bar to bar, and eventually... Okay. Throw some water on you guys. Just teasing. She would go from bar to bar looking for Mr. Good. She was empty, broken. She was trying to fill that emptiness to be fulfilled, trying to fill that hole in her heart for acceptance, for deliverance, whatever it may be. And that really is a picture of mankind. Mankind is looking for life among the dead things. You're not going to find it in a bar. She never found it in a bar. In fact, the sad story was, finally, the last person that she took to her home through drugs and sex and what have you, murdered her. And yet the Bible does say the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. But I don't fault people for trying to find a way out, deliverance, trying to find acceptance, trying to find love, actually. And so they go looking for this through the wrong means. And it could be, well, I'll get a better job, I'll make more money, I'll get a bigger car, get a bigger house, find another lady, find another man, do some drugs, do some alcohol, whatever it may be. And as it's been said, we try to find fulfillment for this emptiness in our heart through people, places, and things. But they're dead. They cannot give you what you really want. Only God can. Augustine, hundreds of years ago, said this: "God, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until it rests in you." God made us for himself, and that's why we're not fulfilled in things that we do. It may get a temporary fix, but then you need another fix, or you need more of that fix. Things progress. And it's that way with sin. You know, we think that sin is somehow, and we might not call it sin, we call adultery an affair, or, you know, getting, you know, drinking. Oh, it's not, you know, drunk. It's not. And we try to find maybe acceptance. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been rejected. Maybe there's something in you that needs the deliverance. And the only way you can get free is through Jesus Christ. We have empty hearts, and only the Lord can fill it. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I'm so grateful that he is gentle and humble. Can I get an amen? He's not standing with his arms folded, saying, again? Okay. Now, he's humble. The Lord Jesus, he's more patient than you could ever be. He wants you. You've sinned a million times. He'll say, come on, come on, come on. I'm not done with you. Don't let go of me. Just come to me. I'm gracious more than what you could ever dream of. I'll forgive you. Oh, he's not saying, okay, he's giving us license. Don't get me wrong. He's not saying that. But we have to be honest, saying, Lord, maybe I am using you. Maybe, you know, this is a jailhouse conversion. And in jail, and when things are hard, I serve you. But when things get easy, it's like, all right, God, I'll see you later. But if you're honest with that, and you say, but Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be a hypocrite. He'll help you. Because he knows everyone has a limit. Everyone can only pick a certain amount of weight, and then that's it. You can't go an ounce more, no matter who you are. You're not Superman. But the problem is not God. The problem is not Jesus, who's humble and meek. It's us who are proud and strong. I don't need God. I think I can do this on my own. I got this one, God. Boy, oh boy. How many times I've gone through that, and I pray, Lord, help me to see. I've been around this, as they say, this is not my first rodeo. I've gone this before. I don't need to keep doing that. Neither do you. God has a beautiful relationship with us. That's why he rose from the dead. Not only a theological forgiveness of sin, but he also wants to infill you with his spirit so that you can connect to him and you can sense his love. Isn't that cool? You can sense that God is taking notice of you in certain situations that happen in your life. You say, wow, this couldn't be coincidence. And then you just say, God, is that you? You might not hear a voice, yes. But you will see if you connect the dots and you start surrendering to him. You see, I think and I believe my biggest problem coming to the Lord was I still had too much power in my life. And I had too much thinking that I could do this without giving my life to him. It was like, well, I can give him on Sunday. I can give him Easter, Christmas. But, you know, really? Give him my heart? Make him my Lord and Savior? That's for the spiritual people. No, it's for humans. It's just that my pride, my strength doesn't give up until I hit a brick wall. And maybe that's your problem too at times. But it's better and easier if you know that's your problem and say, no, I don't have to hit my head anymore. I give up, Lord. I want what you have for me. My heart is broken. I'm caught into these areas of my life, or I need deliverance. I need acceptance. I need love. God is love. The Bible says that. God is love. So I think what we need to say to ourselves is, Lord, if your burden is light and your yoke is easy, teach me to take your yoke. Follow me, he says. Learn of me. And it's progressive. Progression goes on and on. Not progressive thinking, if you know what I mean. But it is progression. You know, if God gives you some freedom and he gives you some deliverance, use that as a springboard to go further. Not as, this is the end of the story. This is it for me. I'm good. No, use that as, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Jesus was told by Martha and Mary that their brother was dead. He was dead for 4 days. And Jesus wept. And then Jesus went to the tomb where the stone was. And he says, remove the stone. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now they remove the stone. First he shouts, remove the stone. Boom. They roll it away. Then, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm sure everyone's on needles and pins. What's going to happen? Let's see. And all of a sudden it tells us this. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings like a mummy around his hands and feet and legs. And his face was wrapped around with cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. He removed the stone. No, he had someone remove it. He unbound the wrappings. No, he had someone else do it. Do you see the picture here? God will save your soul, but it's up to us to help unwrap people who are in bondage. You have a place to help people. He works with the church. It's not like, well, that's their business. No, it's our business. Jesus could have unwound him. Jesus could have moved the stone with just a thought, boom! But he had people work with him, and it's the same with the gospel. He could have sent angels, but no, he sends you and I. And so he said to the people standing there, unbind him. And sure enough, they unbound him. Of course, Lazarus died again. He had to. But what a miracle for Jesus to remove that stone. And he called his name. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a stone in your heart? Is there an area that's clogged up, that it's dead? You don't have this feeling. You don't have love. You don't have acceptance. You just got this big old stone in your heart. Well, Jesus is the one that says, I'm going to remove it. He tells us in Ezekiel 36:26, and I'm coming to an end here. He's speaking to Israel because Israel was in captivity at the time. And he made a promise to them, but it's applicable for us today. He said, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, a living heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. I'm going to remove that heart of stone, Israel, and give you a heart of life. And I will put my spirit in you. You know that's the remedy for being born again? That's the remedy for coming alive again? That's the remedy to come into a position where God wants you to be. But you have to admit there's a stone. You have to admit, you know, this area of my life is dead. God, maybe I want what you have, but I don't know if I'm willing to follow God like you follow God. Well, if you're thinking that far ahead, you're thinking too far ahead. One day at a time. You come to Christ one day at a time and say, Jesus, today I need your spirit. And he says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit to teach you, to guide you, to empower you. I can't convince. If I can convince, someone else can unconvince you. It has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're yielding, you're listening, and you say, wow, this is not a coincidence. So the Bible tells me this in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. And the scripture says this, whoever, not some, but whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I could say that true for my life, and I'm sure many of you could say for your life. Does everything always run smooth? No. But there is a devil. He comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. There is a devil that wants to take away any seeds of faith that you have. He wants to convince you somehow. He'll put people in your path. I like what Mike was saying this morning. The old is dead. Why am I going to celebrate my old lifestyle? I don't live that way no more. You have to make that choice too. And I think sometimes we don't. We think somehow we could skate. It's progression. But we all have to do it. the straight and narrow. If you really want to be set free and you really want to get fulfilled and you don't want to go to Mr. Goodbar and look for Mrs. Goodbar in different places and things, you cannot find what you want through people, places, and things. The only way you find it is by surrendering, submitting in a way by saying, God, I've done it my way all my life. And the wages of sin is death. Really? That's what it is. I'm running from you. Call it what you want. I was brought up that way. Yeah, okay. I know environment has something to do with behavior. But in reality, even when you're in the right behavior or in the right environment, people still choose the wrong things because that's within us. But God promises, I'll take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of life, of flesh, and I will give you my spirit. So with every head bowed and as the worship team comes up here,